There's about a billion of you around the world, and each year you're doing $1,700 billion worth of business. You're members of a co-op or a mutual, a community-run supermarket or farmer's market, credit union or insurance fund. But this style of business isn't just about getting a discount at the checkout. It's challenging conventional free markets. And it has its roots in religion. In the late 19th century, the Catholic Church decided the answer to poverty and exploitation wasn't communism, but distributism. Spread the wealth and the means of creating wealth to as many people as possible. For 40 years, former Labour Minister Race Matthews has argued distributism is the true calling of his Australian Labour Party. And his new book is Of Labour and Liberty.
There was a very widespread reaction in the early to middle 19th century on the part of people of various faiths to the great problem of poverty, hunger, and miserisation, which had resulted from the shift of the United Kingdom from a primarily agriculturally based economy to a deeply industrial-based economy, accompanied by a shift from the land to the big cities, where they were dragooned into the, what somebody described as, the dark satanic mills of England.
Well, I think, yeah, William Blake.
Blake, in fact.
Yeah. But distributism, that has a very Catholic basis, doesn't it?
Yes, it springs from the papal encyclical Rerum Novarum, which Leo XIII promulgated in 1891, and which was translated into English by the great English cardinal, Cardinal Manning, in the same year.
Yeah, of new things.
Of new things, indeed. The proposition that ownership of property should be widely distributed rather than concentrated in the hands of any one class or in the hands of the rich or wealthy, if you like.
Yes, it was partly intended as a sort of rejection of the growing movement towards statist socialism, but it really did put into the hands of workers this almost church-blessed form of an alternative economy to the free market.
Yes, that was certainly the essence of it, and the apotheosis of it has been reached in the Basque region of Spain, in the great complex of worker-owned enterprises associated with the town of Mondragon.
And there's one particular Catholic priest whom you've studied for many years who sort of embodies this movement.
This is Don Jose Maria Arizmendiarrieta. Get your tongue around that one. He was a young seminarian at the time of the outbreak of the Spanish Civil War. He joined the Republican forces in the Basque region to resist the nationalist forces associated with General Franco. He was incarcerated, put in a concentration camp after the defeat of the Basques of the Republican cause. He was scheduled to be executed, but he narrowly escaped execution, went back to his seminary, became a fully fledged priest, and was assigned by his bishop to the town of Mondragon, which, in common with the Spanish towns on across the board, was experiencing hunger, deprivation.
Yeah. How did he, this particular Basque priest, manage to grow, if not a socialist economy, then a socialized economy, all during those years of the Franco-fascist regime?
First of all, he took the teachings of the encyclical Rerum Novarum seriously. So he went to this war-ravaged town of Mondragon with a vision of social reconstruction. First thing he did to gain confidence locally was establish a soccer club. The second thing he did was establish a health clinic. And the third thing was he took the lead in the local Catholic youth movement, the Young Christian Workers.
Now, Race, let's bring this home. How did these views come to shape the Labour Party in Australia and particularly your home state in Victoria?
As far as the Labour Party across the board is concerned, they reached their early peak, I suppose, in the 1921 objective of the Labour Party. we've come to misunderstand the word nationalisation because...
Well, I think it's socialisation in the Labor Party.
It's socialisation, exactly. Taking into public ownership the means of production, distribution and exchange to the extent necessary to prevent exploitation. But my generation have our perception of that objective dominated by the great statutory corporations that the Attlee government, post-war Attlee government in Britain, established to run the various enterprises which they took into public ownership. That has nothing to do with the distributist objective. It has nothing to do with what was intended by the 1921 socialisation objective of the Labor Party. The socialisation objective of 1921 envisaged taking enterprises into public ownership as a means of transiting them to worker ownership.
What role, Race, did the two great figures of Australian religious history, Archbishop Daniel Mannix of Melbourne and the layman Bob Santamaria, play in this? I'll ask you about Mannix first, because they both played two very distinct roles in pushing this Catholic notion of distributism into the sort of Labor movement.
Yes, there's an earlier stage. Cardinal Moran, Australia's first cardinal, who cardinal in Sydney, was a protege of Cardinal Manning in Britain, had worked with very closely with Manning, and brought these ideas from him to Australia when he came here in the late 1880s. And when Archbishop Mannix arrived in 1913, he, in his turn, was deeply influenced by them, advocated them widely and sought to create a widespread following for them.
And his view was that this growing free market capitalism was what, undermining traditional families, it was undermining village life and small town life. What was Mannix's view as to why distributism, the widespread ownership of property, needed to be pushed?
It was the same view which had motivated Pope Leo XIII, simply that this was the right and proper way in which society should organise itself economically.
Now, what about Santamaria, a brilliant but divisive figure in Australian politics? What did he see in distributism to push his cause?
He was an early adherent of the idea. One of the great contributions of Archbishop Mannix was to create opportunities for young Catholics to get higher education on a widespread scale for the first time. A number of the young men formed themselves into a society called the Campions Society, which set out to localise these ideas from an Australian setting and create a cadre of young men who would carry them further on a lay basis. Santamaria became an enthusiastic new recruit.
I'm thinking of Santamaria as the sort of fairly brilliant strategist, thinking though of an alternative utopia to what the communists were offering. Wasn't distributism and cooperatism part of the alternative utopia?
Oh, very definitely. But that emphasis flourished in the 1930s. In the 1940s, with the establishment of what came to be referred to as the Santamaria movement, it very much took a back seat.
Very quickly, Race, I mean, even the government, though, in which you served, John Cain's government, led by John Cain, Scotch College boy, it though did set about encouraging a much more active community sector in Victoria in the 1980s.
It did indeed. And at my instigation, the government established a ministerial advisory committee on cooperatives, which produced a very comprehensive report and recommendations just before the end of John Cain's premiership. That agenda was never acted upon. The government was defeated before action could be taken on it. So this has been unfinished business on the part of the Labor movement at the heart of its economic thinking.
Race Matthews, author of Labor and Liberty.